From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Let's go right to the phone lines. First up is Pam Due West, South Carolina, listening on the web. Hi, Pam.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, how you doing, Hank?
Good.
Good, I'm glad. I need some biblical support about an answer you gave. They called and asked, would we remember, the people that go to heaven, would they remember their loved ones that didn't make it? And I believe you said yes. I just never heard that addressed before, and it was, do you have any scriptures that I can go to and look to for that?
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, just in principle, just as there is continuity between the body that died and the body that rises, so there is continuity of consciousness. So continuity is true for both the physical aspect of our humanity and the metaphysical aspect of our humanity. And you can see this in parables such as the one told by Jesus Christ respecting the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16, which is to say that the rich man actually remembers that there are five brothers on earth, and he wants to go back and warn them so that they should not come to a place of torment such as the place of torment that he is even now experiencing. So there are scripture verses that seem to presuppose the memory of earthly life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we recognize that we will know more, not less. We will know even as we are fully known, says the Apostle Paul there. So I don't think that there's any question that we will have more knowledge, not less knowledge, in the eternal state, as well as, I would say, even in the intermediate state.
Yeah, you know, I understand what you said also about, you know, we'd also understand God's just and everything, but it still kind of seems like if I saw a family member, I mean, does it mean that I would actually see and know their suffering? I mean, because that seems like that would bring sorrow to your heart if you knew that.
Well, again, it's going to be a completely different circumstance where you will see things as they really are. And you'll recognize that those who are not in the presence of God are not in the presence of God because they didn't want a relationship with God. So they are getting what they want, which is to say they are being justly and condignly condemned because they did not want relationship and fellowship with their Creator. So you'll see things from God's perspective.
Yeah, it's just kind of hard to think somebody would want that. But let me ask you something.
But there are all kinds of people that are in exactly that condition right now. You see all kinds of people that do not want a relationship with God, pure and simple.
Yeah. I guess I'm not like that, so it's just hard for me to understand. But Isaiah 66, 22 through 24, has that got anything to do with what you're talking about? Where it says, you know, talking about the all mankind will come and bow down before me, and they will go out and look upon the dead bodies to those who rebelled against me. Their worm will not die, nor will their fire be quenched, and they will be loathsome to all mankind.
Well, I think that certainly it is a metaphorical picture of judgment for those who attack the city of God. So the corpses of the invaders there were thrown outside the city walls where they decayed or decomposed. And the metaphor is expanded by Jesus actually in Mark chapter 9 as a picture of eternal punishment for those who do not inherit the New Jerusalem. So yes, it certainly does have something to do with it.
Oh, okay. That's very interesting, because I came across this passage about 3 or 4 days after I heard your comment, and I thought, wow. You know, so another question is that sort of like God speaking to me when that happens to you?
Well, the Lord is dealing with us in all kinds of different ways, isn't he? He's intersecting with our lives, and he is using his word to do so in your life. And the reason for that is because you are being diligent to seek out his truth in his word. And what I particularly appreciate about you, Pam, is that you have tested what I said in light of what he said, and that's what we should all do. I want to go back to the phone lines. Let's talk next to James in Oklahoma. Hi, James.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
A pleasure.
I wanted to know if, since I think the body-soul unity occurs at conception, where is the soul prior to that event?
Well, the soul comes into existence at that point. It's not as though the soul pre-existed. It is when a woman conceives, she conceives a body-soul unity. In other words, she conceives a human being, and to be human means that you are replete with both the physical and the metaphysical aspect of humanity.
So if the soul doesn't exist prior to that, I was kind of thinking that maybe it did exist prior, which would allow, at least in my mind, the understanding of a way for people to recognize each other prior to life and then after their life.
No, I mean, there's no such thing as a person pre-existing. This is a Mormon idea, by the way, the notion that we pre-exist, we are spirit children of Father God and Mother God, and then we are awaiting a time that a Mormon family receives us by giving birth, and then the soul can go to that body. But that's not part of a biblical worldview.
Okay, well, it was just kind of fitting in with the absent the body, present with the Lord, and I was kind of thinking, since things seem to always exist, that that's the way it would be. But
No, God has always existed. We did not pre-exist. God has always existed. And what happens is, again, when a woman conceives, she's conceiving a human being. And to say you're conceiving a human being is to say you are conceiving a body-soul unity. So she's giving birth to a human being, and that entails both body and soul. That's when the body, the zygote, a fertilized human egg, and the soul come into existence. The tapestry of life begins the moment that a microscopic egg in one human being is fertilized by a sperm cell from another. That's the beginning of the tapestry of life. And it's not only a tapestry that begins from a physical standpoint, but also a tapestry that begins from a metaphysical standpoint at that moment of conception.
Okay, I understand that. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines now and talk to Doug, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call this evening.
You're welcome.
Hank, I have a question for you. I'm an elder at a small but growing church here in St. Louis, and I had a chance on Saturday to evangelize to a Muslim imam. And I really I gave him the gospel message the best way I knew how to, because man is fallen and depraved and without any hope. But I could not get him past the point where he thinks that Adam was a prophet, the prophets of the Old Testament were all sinless, and that when Eve fell in the garden, it was not sin, it was just a mistake. Can you kind of give me some help to where I can evangelize a little clearer to the Muslim world out there, if you could? I also have your book, The Kingdom of the Cults. Does that have any information in there I could use?
Well, I think what's really important here is to make a distinction, and that is between the notion that the Quran is an authority and the Bible is the authority. We can demonstrate that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation by looking at proofs. You can build a cumulative case. The exact same thing cannot be said with respect to the Quran. The Quran is replete with not only factual errors, but also with faulty ethics. And so I think you want to make that distinction, because then you have an authority to which you can appeal. So I think that's crucial in the argument. What is your authority? You can also appeal to the notion that Jesus Christ is in fact God, because according to Quranic thinking, it is not befitting to the majesty of Allah that he should beget a son. Allah begetteth not, nor is he begotten, says the Quran. The Bible, however, does not use the term begotten with respect to the father and son in the sense of sexual reproduction, but rather in the sense of special relationship. I've written about this in a number of different forums, including the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, which everyone should remember is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You check it out on the web at equip.org. You can write me at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or pick up the phone, talk to one of our resource consultants. That number, 888-7000, CRI. Be right back.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, "Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity." Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Stephen. He's listening in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, Hank. I was trying to find out what is Monday, Thursday. I've seen it on church signs that I've been driving by.
Yeah, Monday, Thursday honors the memory. It's in the tradition of Lent, and it's honoring the memory of the final Passover that Jesus celebrated as his Last Supper with the disciples. And it gets its name from a Latin church anthem, the first line of which reads in Latin, "A new commandment I give to you." It comes from John chapter 13. And most churches celebrate this by communion on Monday, Thursday, sometimes even by the tradition of washing one another's feet. So there are various traditions that are employed to point us to Jesus Christ and his ministry as a servant of the gospel through which we are saved.
Okay, appreciate it.
You got it. We want to go back to the phone lines now, and we will talk next to Anthony, listening in Kansas, FG. Hi, Anthony.
How are you doing, Hank?
Good, how are you?
All right. I've been kind of reading through the Gospel of Luke, and I started a little while ago, and it's just kind of happened to where I've kind of stumbled into or got into the Easter story here in the Easter season. And as I've been reading through Luke chapter 23, where it talks about Jesus following Simon of Cyrene when he's dragging his cross with him. And then they got the wailing women that are following him. And then he turns to the women. He said, blessed are the barren women and the wombs that were that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. And he said, they will say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills to cover us. Like, is there like a deeper meaning in that, or I just wasn't sure why he responded that way for or two women that were wailing for him.
Yeah, I mean, this is the horror of what's going on. I mean, you're going to have a situation that befalls Jerusalem and the temple, the center for the spiritual and sociological identity of the Jews, which is going to be utterly destroyed. And that's why Jesus turns and says, don't weep for me, weep for yourselves and for your children, for the time will come when you will say, blessed are barren women and wombs that never bore and breasts that never nursed, because they're going to say, to the mountains, fall on us, to the hills, cover us, for if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Jesus is just about to die in the throes of crucifixion. So he is pointing out that a horror is about to befall Jerusalem, and he is using graphic language to speak of just how horrible it will be. And I actually delineate the horrors of this in my book, The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Chad, Salem, Virginia. Hi, Chad.
Good evening, Hank. My question is, well, first, I'm a truck driver, and I try to witness to other truck drivers, but I get a lot of negative feedback. You know, people call me different kinds of names, and they seem to get really angry and stuff. And, you know, I just try to tell them the plan of salvation, God's plan of salvation, of repenting of our sins, receiving Christ as our Lord and Savior. And it just seems to me that people get really angry at me, and I just want to know how I should respond to that.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. As you were talking, I was thinking about a man many years ago who I played golf with. In fact, he was a golf professional, and he would ask me questions, and I would answer the questions, and he would get angry when I answered the questions, and I'd say, you're asking me the questions, I'm just giving you the answer. Well, this man has been radically converted and has been a wonderful testimony to the goodness and grace of God for over 20 years. But the bigger point here, I think, is that it's not our job to talk anyone into the kingdom. As Christians, we are called, however, to always be ready to give an answer or reason for the hope that lies within us and to do it with gentleness and with respect. And so if someone is open to the gospel, you need to be prepared to communicate the gospel. So always be ready. And if someone gets angry, as sometimes happens within the context of communicating the truth of a biblical worldview, you don't have to force feed them, but you should always be ready if they are open to walk through an open door and continue to testify not only by your lips, but by your life and by your love, as I'm certain you most surely do.
Yes. You know, and it's like sometimes I'll get someone on the radio and, you know, on the CB radio, and they want to get into this big old theological debate about things. And, you know, and I don't want to do that. I just want to point people to the cross. You know, like Paul says, you know, I preach Christ and Him crucified.
Yeah, but sometimes you can use your well-reasoned answer to a question as an opportunity to preach Christ and to preach Christ crucified.
Mm-hmm. That's why I need to study more and more.
Absolutely, and that's the point. Study to show yourself approved, a workman who need not blush with embarrassment, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's an ongoing quest. I continue on that journey myself because I want to be a well-honed tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit, recognizing that I can't convert anyone, but the Holy Spirit can use me in the process.
Correct. Well, thank you very much, Hank.
You got it, and may God bless your passion to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. So many of us are secret agents who have never blown our cover before the unregenerate world. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to John. He's listening in Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, John.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I guess my question, this may turn out to be simple, but I know it's said that Jesus died and was crucified at 33, but it's also been believed that he may have been born actually about 5 or 6 B.C.?
Yeah, somewhere between 4 and 7 B.C., actually, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so was he actually the age of 33 when he was crucified, or if he was, I've heard 33 A.D. as well, so would that have been actually where he would have been more likely to have been in his late 30s?
Well, we don't know, absolutely. Jesus died in his mid-30s, probably 33 or 34, and we get that by some deductive reasoning. We start out with Luke chapter 3:23 that says, now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. And most scholars do conclude his ministry was about 3 years in duration, and therefore we get from that the notion that he was around 33 years of age, again, approximately, when he was crucified. But yeah, New Testament scholarship does say that Jesus was born somewhere between 5 and 4 BC, and he died somewhere around AD 30 or AD 33. So the timeline is fairly fluid. It's close to the mid-30s. That's the best that we can say. We know that Jesus was born before the death of Herod the Great, who died in 4 BC. He was born when the first census took place during the time that Quirinius was governor of Syria, which was around 7 or 6 BC. Thus, the time of Christ's birth is in that time frame, somewhere between 7 and 4 BC. But it seems, in putting all the pieces together, that it was closer to 4 BC. And again, he died in AD 30. To AD 33.
Okay. Okay, thanks. I guess I've got another quick question, and this is just curiosity too, I guess. Does Jesus at the present time have a physical body?
Yeah, in Christian theology, Jesus is forever Theanthropos, the God-man, which means that Jesus is forever in flesh. And when we say that Jesus ascended into heaven, we're talking about him transcending time and space. Remember that heaven and earth, in the truest sense, are interlocking, overlapping domains. Now, there's a time in the Old Testament when Elisha was able to see the chariots of God in another dimension. And that's how it will be when heaven and earth are no longer separate, but are same, which is to say those distinctions collapse. And we pray for that in the prayer that the Lord taught us to pray, Thy kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus is as close as your fingertips, so to speak. The heavenly realm is all around us. To say that Jesus ascended into heaven does not mean that he is going straight up. Even if he's traveling at the speed of light, if you have that presupposition, he's not out of our little galaxy yet and must surely be struggling with oxygen deprivation. It actually means he transcended time and space as the God-man. And there's a lot that we have to learn about these things. We don't really know what matter is in the truest sense of the word. So there's a lot about this in terms of physicality that we still have a lot to learn about.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
You got it. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without your support, we cannot do what we do. Please be generous. You can give on the web at equip.org at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or via the phone 888-7000 CRI. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.